Praise the Lord. All right, let's go. Let's open our Bibles to John 1:1. Praise God. John 1:1. We're going to talk about grace and truth. Anybody have any questions about what I said? Everybody good? Okay. We know who we have our eyes on, who needs to develop, and we'll move forward on that, and we'll have lots of people to help in the awakening. Glory to God. That's the point of everything. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. John 1:1. You there? In the beginning, the Word existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. Through Him, all things were made, and apart from Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and the life brought light to humanity. And the light shines on the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. Now drop down to verse 14. The Word became flesh and lived among us. We gazed on His glory. The kind of glory, that's what we're gazing on tonight, that belongs to the Father's unique Son, who is full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. You can probably sense that in the atmosphere. Grace and truth. The perfect combination. Without grace, we're in legalism. Amen? Without truth, we're in liberalism. We're in licentiousness or lasciviousness, or that's license to sin. That's carnality. So we need grace and truth both together. We need Jesus. We need exactly what He is. So I want to give you some truths about grace and some graces about truth. And you'll pick this up real easy and get a picture of it. Okay, Lord, You say. Most important thing about grace, listen, you cannot earn anything by your holiness. You can't earn it. You cannot earn it. Jesus paid for you. Jesus paid for your salvation. He paid for everything, and He gave it to you. Holy means separated. It means, God is holy. He's separate. He's different than we are. We are holy. We're a separated people. We're different, right? And it also has to do with behavior. But you're not going to be good because you're earning heaven or because you're trying to earn all the promises. That's not why you're good. Now, a lot of people believe that. A lot of people believe it's all about them being good. And if they be good, you ask them, you think you're going to go to heaven? And they'll say, well, I think I've been pretty good. That has nothing to do with how you get to heaven. Jesus is the only door to heaven, the only one. And then He's the only door to all the promises. He is the door. He is the way. Absolutely. There's no other way. And you can't make a deal with God. Jesus is the way. Allah's not the way. Buddha's not the way. Jesus is the way. So He did everything for you. Now, truth that goes with that grace is this. You are being good. We'll call it that. You are walking in a certain way for two reasons. There's two reasons why you want to, I'll say it like this, behave, you know. Why do you want to behave? Number one, because you're called to love people. Danny just preached it. You're called to love people. And when you do just whatever you want to do, you hurt people. So therefore, we don't want to be hurt, and we don't want to hurt people. So we choose to do what's right, do it right, because it's right. Amen. The second reason that you would want to do what is right is because there's an enemy. And the enemy is waiting to get you off the path. He's waiting to get you offended. He's waiting to get you insecure. He's waiting to steal your peace. He's waiting to tell you a lie. He's willing to make you, he really wants to just make you religious. It's what he wants to do. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Those are the two reasons. Because we're called to walk in love, we're going to do what's right. Because we don't want to get drug off on the path with the enemy and be stolen from and lose our lives and things like that, then we're going to also do what is right. Well, what is right? Whatever the Bible says, whatever the Holy Spirit says, and make sure they match up. Amen. Truth. Grace is not, I can do whatever I want because I'm saved by grace and God will always forgive me. No, that's mercy. And God is merciful. Grace is the power to overcome the selfish idea that your life is just all about you. That's what grace is. Grace is empowerment. Grace is not just a get out of jail free card. That's not what grace is. You are saved by grace through faith. Yes, absolutely. But grace is empowering. Amen. You understand this. This is not hard, but we just need to repeat it right here today. It's an important time in our lives. Here is a grace. God loves me. Period. He loves me. He just loves me. Period. Here's the truth. He does love me, but he also wants me to grow up. Because I'm here trying to be an example to other people. Do we all get it right? No. There's the mercy. There's the grace. But still, he's not saying, you know, honey, I just love you just like you are. No, he's saying, no, I just love you. Like you are, we could work on it. But that doesn't take the love away. He's just trying to, he wants us to mature, according to Apostle Paul. He wants us to mature. He wants us to have some character. Amen. Yeah. But you do that by the power of grace. Yeah. You don't have to earn or try hard or do it out of works. You just do as God leads you. Here's a grace. You will not fall from the blessing if you make a mistake. You will not. The blessing's on you. It's yours. I didn't take away what I had from my son when he made mistakes. You don't either. That's something we're practicing right here, what I was talking to you about earlier. Just because, you know, we have a saying in our staff meetings and with our leaders, celebrate noble failure. Sometimes you have to celebrate noble failure. You get somebody new in there and they're learning and everything. Sometimes you just have to go, okay, let's just keep going. Let's just keep going. But as we go, we tighten up the ship. We work on things. We move forward. You want momentum. You want to move forward. But it's not about being mad at someone. It's not about, wanting to, what would they say today? Throw somebody under the bus because they're not acting appropriately. Amen. Here's the truth. You could wander far from living under the blessing if you persist in following lies. So where the blessing belongs to you, you could just follow a lie and the blessing isn't going to work. It's there. It's yours. But it's not going to work if you're just going to follow off on lies. Well, nothing good ever happens to me. Blah, 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 blah. Why can't I get this? Why can't I blah, 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 blah. You're going on. You're moving away from allowing the blessing to work for you. You're not cursed, church. But you could live like it. You're going to heaven. But you could live like hell on this earth. It's just the truth. You see what I mean. There are choices to be made. But But from God's point of view, and hopefully we feel this way about each other, just keep going, keep loving, keep, and do your best not to jump to conclusions all the time. What'd they mean by that? Was that about me? Well, see, you're focusing on you. Was that steered toward me? Were they making that comment about me? Check yourself out. Amen. When we're talking about this, get it out of your mind that I'm just talking about drugs and fornication here, okay? When you stay in your head and you don't connect with your heart, you lose battles. Come on, come on. You stay in your head all the time. How are we going to figure it out? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. You're laying awake. I don't know. I don't know. How can I figure it out? If we did this, we did this. If we did that, we did that, move that. Might as well dip down in your heart. Pray in the spirit. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord. I cast all my care over on you. Pray in the spirit a little bit. I'm not taking this on, Lord. I'm staying in peace. Shalom, shalom. I'm just using my authority over I'm using my authority over the authority that is stirring up all the trouble. Yes. Thank you for it, Lord. Chaos. Put that chaos down. Amen. So we lose battles when we don't stay there. When you focus on symptoms more than the answer, you lose the battle. When you ignore the symptoms and think it's faith, you could lose the battle. You can't put your head in the sand. You have to face the facts and then from your spirit, have faith in God. Not have faith in faith, have faith in God. Yeah. Truth over fact. That's what you're looking for in your life. Truth over fact. Grace. Now, I just said all that to set you up for something. I want to show you something. I want to show you some truth and grace that'll just, I hope it rocks your world. I hope you love it. But it really said something to me. I want to speak to you about concerning the season we're in right now. We've had some rough days ever since COVID. There's been rough days for the government and such. Now I'm going to say this. This is for me personally, okay? You need to decide between you and God. But what I'm about to say is what I believe. I personally believe that the Babylonian system has to crash before building starts. I believe that just like Babylon happened, at the tower, the Tower of Babel, there was a cap put on it. Can I tell you that there's still a cap on it? There's still a cap on it. Evil has a stopping place with God. He'll stop it. And I believe we're right there. We're right there. And I believe that system, you can think what you want. I'm not telling you. I don't know what's going to happen, with the stock market and this and that. And I'm not trying to pick dates and all that kind of stuff, but I do believe we're right on the edge of seeing the change. Now, you are living in the kingdom. And if you'll put your faith in God, you're not going to be touched. You can believe that. You're like, well, how is that going to happen? Well, realize this one thing. You're living in the world with other people who are going to be in fear, da-da-da-da, who already are in fear, da-da-da. So you have to make some adjustments in life, but don't you fear. there's something out saying that the dairy farms aren't doing good. So there's a butter shortage coming. So we bought some butter and put it in the freezer. Cause you know, butter.
You know, holiday baking.
What?
Holiday baking.
Holiday baking's coming, Dipsy. But I'm not buying a kit and running to a cave. But to level out what goes on with the people in the world. I might buy some extra toilet paper. I might do some extra things. I might keep a full tank of gas and some money in my pocket. Things like that. For what could be coming. Now, if you don't believe that, frankly, I don't care. I'm just telling you what I think. I think we're on the edge, the very edge of seeing everything change. We are going into, I believe this is the end of the age. And we are now, it's going to be time for the church of the living God to come into what you were feeling in the room 10 minutes ago. The glory of God manifesting in this world like never before. And there just might be a little hiccup right before we get there because that system is not going to work. It's already not working, but it's going to come to an end. And then the builders will step in. That's what I believe. Now, you don't have to. You can figure it out however you think is right, or don't figure it out. Ask God. But see, the enemy, he hopes for a hard crash so that everyone depends on the government and a one world order. He's trying to push God out of time. That's what he's after. But can I tell you something? It's not his time. He's not going to be able to do it. There's someone standing in his way. Us. He can't do it with the church of the... I just got happy. The church of the living God on this earth as a man, as an ecclesia, full-blown Holy Ghost people declaring what is true, standing against the evil. He will not be able to get God out of time. He's already defeated, but we stand and enforce that. So, you know, it could be a very soft thing and go on. It could be a little harder and go on, but whatever it is, you just be ready because you're going to go right on. You're about to have the very best time of your life. The very best time you have ever had is approaching because you're just going to look down and say, oh my Jesus. That guy couldn't see and he's walking around. Look, that person couldn't walk and now they're walking. That person just got healed of this. That person did. Oh my. We saw money multiply at the Branson deal. They went in and emptied out the buckets. And one of the counters said, I feel like I need to walk back over to the buckets. They were full again. You're like, oh, I don't believe that. I don't care. It happened. The multiplier's in the house. We're standing in that place. Y'all receiving this? Now go over to Joel. I want to show you something cool as we... Deb started psalming what I was going to say. So it's interesting. We're going right down the Holy Ghost here. Joel 3, verse 1. You go to 10. I'll just tell you this. Can you listen to me while you're going? Joel 3. Go to Joel 3. Joel 3 is very interesting because it's referring to the last desperate effort made by the powers of the world against Christ and his people. This is their last ditch effort. That's what the enemy's doing. That's what this prophecy is about here. So God in these scriptures is calling the nations, can you hear me? He's calling the nations to the valley of decision. You can go back and read it all later. But it's the last ditch effort to try to beat the kingdom of God. Now look at verse 10. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Now, he's calling these heathen people, the enemy to dress for the season because you're going to need it. Now they're going to have to take all of what they have to try to beat God and his people. That's what they're doing. Does that sound familiar? Okay. So he's telling them, he's just being sarcastic to them. Go ahead. Beat your plowshares into swords. Go ahead. Get your pruning hooks and make them a spear. He's saying, go ahead. The weak better start saying they're mighty. The Hebrew says mighty, not strong. that they're mighty. That's what he's saying. God is prophesying through Joel. That's what he's saying. If you're weak, you better start saying you're mighty. But you still aren't going to beat God and the church. You're no match. Your mighty is still weak compared to God. Now, this is the truth, okay? However, let's just have a little fun here. Let's flip this over. On the other hand, if you were to take us here into the New Testament and pick up a psalm along the way, we'll pick up a proverb along the way, we could use this verse for ourselves. Watch this. Let me show you what I mean. Well, let's go back to Genesis 2 for a minute. Let me read you Genesis 2:1. I'm going to show you something. The heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day for all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work, which God created to make. You hear me? On the seventh day, God rested from his work. He rested from all his work, which he created to make. He created it to make. That's not rested from all his work that he created, rested from all his work he created to make. Now other Bible versions say that created and made, but the Torah says created to make. Okay? So he created to make. So everything he created could make something.
Wow.
Adam and Eve could make babies. Elephants could make elephants. A peach tree could make a peach. Come on. Yeah. The asparagus could make asparagus. Woo, I'm happy about that. One person liked it. Oh, two. We got two. Now, this is what I'm saying. This implies that accomplishment is simultaneous with rest.
Amen.
He's resting, but it all keeps working.
Oh, man.
I feel the Holy Ghost on that. He's resting, but it all keeps working.
Amen.
And by the way, he didn't go back to his throne to rest. He's resting there with Adam and Eve. He always wanted to be with us. He's resting right there. And it's not because he's tired. He's finished. But whatever he created that could make is now moving. In the rest, things work for you, Jesse. In the rest, they're working for you. Why? Because God blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it. He blessed it. He put the blessing on the rest. The blessing, the empowerment to prosper is on the rest.
Yeah.
Now, God blessed it, but man has to enforce it because we've been given authority on the earth. Now, the Jews enforce it as a day or a holy week or a Sabbath, you know, like a feast. But we do something different. We read truth just now. Now, here's grace. Hebrews 4:9. Here's Hebrews 4:9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now, this is New Testament. For he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You have to go back and read 3 to help yourself with all this, but you'll catch on here. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. There's two parts of you right there. And the joints and the marrow, there's your body, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So, there is a rest. The rest is when you cease from your own work. The rest is when you stop toiling, not quit your job. It's when you stop toiling over things. Okay? All right. Now, you stop trying to fix things. You stop trying to control. Stop trying to control. Wrong motives, you know, the big word, I. Okay? Remember in the rest, you cease because there's something that was created to make. And the big one here, the blessing is on the rest. So you're not worrying. You're not trying to figure it out. You don't have any anxiety. You're in that shalom we've been preaching about. You're resting. You're out of chaos. You're not letting your mind get chaotic. You're not, oh no, how could have, what, you know, I like what Deb says when people say, what could we have done? Coulda, shoulda, woulda. It's over. Maybe you can learn a couple of things, but can't go back. Can't go back. As well, get in gear, get in the rest, cast your care over on the Lord, and let the blessing do the work. Now everybody here knows Proverbs 10:22. Say it. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no toil or sorrow to it. The blessing is supposed to do the work. Church, think of all the people, Christians, that don't even have a revelation of the blessing. They think it's what people say at dinner time. They think it's what people say when somebody sneezes. They have no idea that it is the anointing to prosper. But you know, and the blessing is working on your life. And so you don't have to toil. You can rest. And when you rest, the creation to make is working. Amen. The rest is grace. We're going to start closing up here. Here's your part, your truth in verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I'll say it to you like this. For something said by God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Something that is said by God is sharper than any two-edged sword. That word two-edged sword means mouth. It's the mouth, okay? So something said by God can reach the heart, and it can help you distinguish what is spirit and what is flesh or soul. So when you get something that is said by God, you've heard God see it, it can actually come in there and go, and you'll know, I was just in my flesh about that. I didn't get that from God. Or, no, this is the Spirit of God telling me. The Word helps you. Something that is said by God will help you distinguish whether you're just in your flesh or whether you heard from the Spirit. The Word of God will do that. Let me show you one more thing. Ephesians 6:17, you know it. Don't turn there. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Everybody knows the armor of God. No soldier's ever going to be without their sword. But the word here, you know, people say that the Bible is your sword. No, it isn't. The Bible's your loin belt. That written word is your loin belt. The sword here, if you look it up, it's the rhema word. Something said by God, which is anointed by the Holy Ghost. You got it? Rhema. Now, the other word was logos, but it was said over in Hebrews, but it's still said by God. But this rhema, when you hear this rhema, it's able to get in there and cut through this stuff. The Holy Spirit lights up Scripture, gives you revelation, and you're able to rest, yet move forward.
Wow.
Because if you're resting, you're out of toil. So then you're moving forward. And you're resting, I'll just say it, is when you get out of yourself. Get self out of the center. You get self out of the center, and you allow Jesus to be in the center of your life. You'll start, you're going, okay, he's got it. There's been so many times when we just try, the devil's trying to get us upset about something. Well, what does that mean? What are they saying about me? Do they not love me anymore? No, that's the enemy. That's the enemy. Well, pastor's not going to let me do this or that. That's the enemy. I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do. Talk to him about it. Praise the Lord. God, you're so good. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, here's the... Now, you're pushed over to the rest, so we'll finish with this. The nations against God beat their plowshares into swords for a fight, right? We beat our plowshares into swords because we use them to keep us in the rest so that the blessing can work and reveal a victory that has already been won. Because to us, plowshares mean toil. Right?
Yeah.
But a sword, we don't want to toil.
That's right.
How are we going to do this? How make this work? How's my ministry going to go? How's my job going to be? Where am I going to get clients? Who's going to buy? Will we have enough money this month? Some of those things, you get to going on that, you look back on that, you won't be even asking that in your life. It'll be years. We'll say, I haven't had to worry about money in years. Or I haven't had to worry about how things are going to go in years. That'll all leave you. Stop toiling. Start giving. I'll leave that alone. Y'all know that stuff. So the plowshare is that toiling instrument, and the sword will cut away what we don't need so we can rest. Amen? So see, if we just took their little thing and reversed it, which actually Isaiah does reverse it. I'm just saying to you today, that take your plowshare and beat it into a sword. In other words, open your mouth and start using your authority. And start using your authority. I've been telling you this for 20 years. Some of you, however long you've been here, I'm going to tell you once again. Thoughts do not fight thoughts. Words fight thoughts. Say it out loud. Jesus said, when you take a thought, you take it by saying. It will not even be born unless you say it. You with me? I'm talking about Matthew 6. Brother Hagin used to say, an unborn thought dies an unborn death, or something like that. I can't exactly quote it right. An unspoken word dies an unborn death. Thank you, Brother Hagin Jr. But that's true. When you open your mouth is the first time the devil hears about it. Now he's sending thoughts to you, but he doesn't know what you're thinking. Come on, church. He doesn't know what you're thinking. Don't give him the privilege of getting in there. Just say, shut up. Just shut up, devil, in the name of Jesus. I forbid you to operate. I cast you away from me in the name of Jesus. You go to the appointed place, never to return, and leave me alone in Jesus' name. Just talk to him like that. And if you stay anywhere near me, you're going to watch me eat at this Psalm 23 table. And we can rest. We're at the end of the Babylonian system. It's going to fall. The church will rise. The glory will come. The lost will be saved. The wealth transfer will take place. The miracles will explode on the scene. It's happening right now. The world system will give one big push and it will fall. Because it is not time for the tribulation to start. It's not. I think we're already in it. Oh, honey. When the tribulation starts, the wrath of God you don't want to have anything to do with. Now, he's not mean. It's just that light pushes out darkness like that exterminator that comes and kills the bugs at your house. When the light shines bright on the darkness in the end, you'll want to thank God you're living in the light. We're now going to watch the church of the living God be so glorious. Every time we get into these places like we did, when it's quiet, don't go, I wonder if anybody's ever going to say anything. Just enjoy it. We may do it and just walk out having not said a word. Or we may do what we did a couple of weeks ago, where everybody's running around in here dancing and having fun. Whatever Holy Ghost wants to do, that's what we're going to do. Really. I just got a download. You want me to tell them? I'm not listening to them. I'm listening to you. What do you want? He just said this to me. You're spring fed. You're spring fed.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord. We're not having to dig a well here. It's coming up out of the ground right now. It's coming up out of the ground right now. Right now, it's coming up out of the ground. Right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. You don't have to fight the darkness. You don't have to fight the wickedness. Jesus has beat them. So you fight the good fight of faith by using the sword of the Spirit. Keep yourself in the rest. Cast down imaginations by the sword of truth. No, devil. In the name of Jesus. And by the way, not just saying no to the devil, but saying what you want. I declare today, you know, you can do the whole thing. I declare there'll be no tragedy, no accident, no sickness, no disease, no perversion, invasion, inflammation, insurrection, trouble, sorrow, disaster of any kind. I plead the blood of Jesus over Danny and Jordan and on down the line. That's all good. But then say what you want. I declare today that I'll have divine appointments. I declare today that any judgment or any weapon that's formed against me will not prosper. I declare today that I am moving forward in God. I declare today that the love of God will be shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Start declaring those things. Start living that. I declare today I'll do what's right, do it right because it's right. And if I did mess up, you know, Brother Roberts used to say, he says, I don't get up in the morning planning on making mistakes. I don't think any of us do. And I get up today and go, how many mistakes are you? I'm going to call Jesse. Hey, Jess, how many mistakes are you going to make today? Just two? Ooh, she going to do good. Praise the Lord. But you see what I'm saying? We don't. That's not what we're thinking. Rest. Even as you watch the market, even as you watch whatever people are doing, if they're running to buy butter, whatever it is, whatever they're doing, stay in the rest. Because just on a little other side of a glitch, you're going to have the most wonderful time in the Holy Ghost. You're going to watch Aunt Mabel and Uncle Shiny and whoever come on right on into things. I'll tell you, you'll raise the dead. It's here. Resurrection power belongs to us. There's a wealth transfer coming. There's a wealth transfer. You'll have what you need to get the gospel around the world. Now, our members aren't just about having money for themselves. Our members about seeing that God's will is being done. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Y'all receive this tonight?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. That's what it said. All you have to do is live in that place. Live in the rest. Just don't let him get to you. Don't, if you think you misunderstood something, just wait. No, I'm going to wait and see how that clears up because I don't think that was right. It'll come back around. We'll see, Lord. I'm just not immediately going to think that. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God is good. We're spring fed. We're spring fed. He just dropped that right down into my heart. We're spring fed. I had to go digging around. It's right there on our property. We're just spring fed. Praise God for that. Praise God. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord.